we move differently than we did in the 30s. It's time for an upgrade.
I get very excited at the opportunity to say this is a once in 90 years experience. I find that very compelling, but that's just me.
When I've talked to people, I've said my grandmother, that the last time this road was reconstructed was before my grandmother was born.
We're rolling. We are rolling.
Pulling out. This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.
From a dark room, it's another episode of the Wedge Live podcast. I'm in a temporary location here, and we're talking about Lyndale Avenue. We've done multiple episodes while sitting in traffic in the median on Lyndale Avenue, but this is the most important Lyndale Avenue episode we have ever done. Hennepin County is reconstructing Lyndale Avenue. You may have heard about it. You get a chance as a city, as a county, to reconstruct a street about once every 50 or 60 years. So you'd better get it right. We are all going to be dead the next time this comes around. So joining me to talk about it is Julie Johnson, a senior community organizer with Move Minnesota, which advocates for sustainable transportation, and Katie Jones of the Wedge Neighborhood. And Katie is going to try to avoid saying anything controversial here because she is running, full disclosure, for the state legislature. Frank Hornstein's old seat, 61A. So we're gonna try to get you out of here without saying anything too controversial. You're a volunteer with Move Minnesota.
Thanks for that, John.
Well, full disclosure, Katie, we can't lie to our guests. Julie, can we talk what this is about? Where we are in the timeline of reconstructing Lyndale Avenue? It's a county road. What is happening? What has happened? What are we expecting?
It's a county project. They have a few different phases of community engagement, and the actual construction will take place in 2026. So over last summer through the fall was kind of their first engagement, in which they basically opened up completely what does the community want from Lyndale Ave. What do we want the street to look like? With no guidance, really. Just open book. That comment period closed at the end of 2023, and they took, or a little bit before, and they took that and are currently, we're in kind of a waiting period right now, where the design team is putting together a handful of options that the street could look like, and then they'll open up a second comment period in which you can, you know, show favor or critique specific pieces of the options that they present. And then that narrows it down further so that there's something that's votable from the options. And then 2026 is when they actually break the concrete down. So
there's something on the, I went to an engagement meeting last year, I think, and the timeline said this summer approval by the city council. And I'm thinking this is a county street. Is it the council that is going to approve this, or is it both the Hennepin County and the Minneapolis City Council? What's going on?
My understanding, and Katie can fill in with this too, but my understanding is that the county commissioners will be the decision-making piece of this. And once everything is finalized, I believe the city council has to like sign off on it.
Okay.
Because it's also in the city, but they are not part of the decision-making process.
Okay, well, that's kind
of a relief. The one piece there is that the city has operational control, because that has kind of been a precedent that was set 2 years ago. So now that we have the strong mayor system, the mayor's office has claimed that as their realm. And so the city still runs all of the traffic signals and any of the operations on even county streets. And so that is something that the county planners are taking into account as they're making this, because basically they, what we're hearing is they're not going to present anything that they don't think will receive approval from the administration.
Well, that sounds like they're giving the mayor a veto. So I don't know if you laid this out explicitly enough, but is it 2 years ago now on Hennepin Avenue, city council approved bus lanes. That was a whole big fight. And the mayor vetoed those bus lanes, saying the red paint and saying where the buses can go and where the cars can't is what the mayor gets to decide. City council, you can say how the street is laid out. The mayor gets to say, no, this can't be a bus lane. This is a parking lane for the majority of the day. So the county is taking that very seriously. Is it really going to be the case that if they think the mayor doesn't like it, they won't approve it?
That's kind of what we're hearing. And so I think that's why it's really important that people are speaking up at this phase. Like Julie was saying, with the design concepts that are coming out, that's really the first, that's the first impression. And that's where the benchmark really gets set. And so the more that that can be influenced, I think the more that we can kind of stretch what the ultimate end will be.
So are we still on schedule? Another thing that we learned in the Hennepin Avenue experience was things can be delayed and delayed and delayed until the bad guys get what they want. And that's what happened on Hennepin Avenue. Are we still on schedule for Lyndale Avenue? Like, are we going to get these options soon and get an approval this summer?
We've been told that it'll be March, but that was actually something that was pushed back from February. So that's the information we've got.
So maybe.
Hopefully it stays on schedule.
That's what we hope. I remember remarking to the Hennepin County Public Works staff who was assigned to the project at Open Streets. I'm like, I'm so traumatized by the Hennepin Avenue experience, and you are just moving so quickly on Lyndale, and that's nice to see.
I will say something that is different here is that there is no federal funding for this street compared to Hennepin. So there isn't the deadline, the strings that are attached to the funding for this are not nearly as tight as they were for Hennepin.
And another thing about Lyndale, it should have been reconstructed like 10 years ago, maybe, or more. Like, it has been put off. This is way overdue. Reconstructions come around once in a lifetime, and this is like extra 10 years they've added to this.
Yeah, and the reason for that was the 35W reconstruction.
Is that the reason?
So when that highway, that was part of it, because they needed north-south routes to redirect traffic to. And even though Lyndale is pretty far west compared to 35W, it did carry a lot more volume of traffic during those years. And that was even the same reason. So that was the reason why the medians did not go in until after the 35W reconstruction was because they wanted to be sure to carry that volume during that time period.
Okay, I see what you're saying. What I had heard was even before that, like in the 2010-ish era, the county public works just thought it was too much trouble, whether it was politics or whatever. Like, oh, this seems like a pain in the ass. Let's not do it for a while. That's what I had heard. So that like predates the whole median.
Yeah. So that could have been the reason then. And then I think then it wasn't, the 35W was another reason to extend. Because we're now at nearly 90 years old is the road.
Really? 90.
Mm-hmm. It was last reconstructed in the mid-1930s.
Wow. So I apologize for not paying attention to your activism. Is that like prominently featured in your communications about Lyndale Avenue?
It's more of a talking point that we use. So it comes up in conversation regularly. It's not really the center of a lot of our communications. We focus mostly on, you know, creating a Lyndale Ave that supports people in any mode, so specifically bike, bus, and pedestrian. That's really the big push. So, but it is pretty wild how long it's been since redesign. We move differently than we did in the 30s. It's time for an upgrade.
I get very excited at the opportunity to say this is a once in 90 years experience. I find that very compelling, but that's just me.
When I've talked to people, I've said my grandmother, that the last time this road was reconstructed was before my grandmother was born.
It's truly a once in a generation chance.
Julie, before we get into what you are doing about this big problem called Lyndale Avenue, do we have any sense of what the county might give us? So we don't have the design options that the public can look at and give feedback on. But do we have a sense like what might be contained in those things? People may be wondering, does the 4-to-3 lane conversion stick? Are we going to get bus lanes or bike lanes? Like what are we getting potentially?
So we don't know what the options specifically are going to look like. What's really important to us is that one of the options has both bus and bike lanes. A concern that has been expressed, like as we discussed the potentials and the different scenarios of this going through, is we really don't want there to be a situation where the options that are presented are just parts of what we think the street needs. So having one option with a bike lane, one option with a bus lane, one option with, you know, none of it, whatever it may be. Right. We want to make sure that there's at least an option on the table that has the dedicated bus lane and the protected bike lane, because that's how we can move forward with our work. So it's a big question, and I want to know the answer too. So hopefully they'll come out soon.
What is Move Minnesota and all the volunteers, what are they doing about this? How can people get involved and get a better Lyndale Avenue?
So Livable Lyndale kind of sparked from the Move Minnesota Minneapolis volunteer team. So there's a Minneapolis volunteer team and a St. Paul volunteer team. So Livable Lyndale is kind of the baby of the Minneapolis team. It's our sole focus right now and has been for over a year. We started working on it in the beginning of 2023. And we do a variety of things for this project. So we have a petition, a running petition. It has over 800 signatures right now. So we go canvassing along Lyndale Avenue. We do some digital organizing around that, just pushing for signatures. And all that letter is a letter of support. And then we also, so we meet every month, and we have a communications task force and a field task force that do work within those field, like those areas as well. We're getting articles and letters to the editor published. We're especially at Streets MN. And we also just, we've having conversations with small businesses about how they're seeing the street and how making sure that we're understanding the full scope of, you know, who's going to be using the street. We want to know all of the opinions so that we can all work together to get the best Lyndale Ave possible for everyone. Katie, am I missing anything? Volunteer stuff that we do?
Yeah, I just really wanted to touch on the small business outreach that we've been doing. There was a small group of business owners who were willing to really sit down with us, and we created a cardboard model of the road. And we, you know, cut strips in order and to dimension so that we could actually map out, like, okay, we could have this many lanes and it would be this wide. Well, oh, what if we took an 8-foot wide version of that instead of a 10-foot wide? And so that we could both take a look at the street, what could fit on which side of the road, and actually talk through some of our differences and what did we agree with. And that was a super productive discussion, because I think a lot of times the discussions around road reconstructions are just so, you know, high level of like, I want this type of thing on the street, and in my mind only that thing can fit, when in reality there's a lot more flexibility block by block, even within a block, on what can fit. And having that that exercise, I think, really just like opened people's eyes. And I hope that we can continue moving forward doing that with more people. I think it just leads to better discussions. And when we have those better discussions, we can, as a community, come together and have a better outcome.
A lot of people assume it's a zero-sum game. And sometimes it is. Like, there's a limited amount of space in the public right-of-way. And sometimes you take a car lane or a parking lane to do something else with it, because we have overbuilt our streets so much for cars. But another thing about Lyndale in particular, I have heard it is wider than Hennepin. Hennepin Ave is a very wide street. Lyndale Ave is even wider, which creates flexibility. Am I right about this? That you can you can include more of everything on Lyndale.
That's correct. It's about 100 feet wide at its widest points, and it gets down to 86 feet on the bridge going over the Midtown Greenway.
Okay. And so somebody, my friend Phil, tweeted at me last week, I think, and was like, these business owners, I'm probably making him sound meaner than he is, but like, these business owners don't know what they're talking about. That you can have all of these things. It's not like if they add a bike lane, you have necessarily lost all of your parking, for example.
Mm-hmm. We've actually made a tweak to our preferred design concept because of the feedback that we've gotten from people. So we were originally thinking, well, what if we had a protected bike lane up on the curb on either side of the street? But as we've been talking to more and more people, learning that, oh, we could put the bike lanes together, have a bi-directional bike lane, say, on the east side, because that's where the biggest destinations are. So like the Wedge and Aldi, you know, grocery stores are really, you know, hyper-focused destinations. It also leads in from the Loring Greenway that comes from downtown. And by doing so, we reduce the amount of required space for biking. And so that way we can have more space for other uses. And that way, like, it just serves more people when we're thinking creatively like that. So we are getting ready for an event in a couple of weeks where we're going to essentially party on the median. It's going to be on March 2nd at 2 o'clock. Is that right, Julie?
Yep. Yep.
And so we're really, really, you know, gearing up for that. We're getting our materials together. And I'm really excited to welcome people to Lyndale and to not only have a conversation about it, but to really talk about all the modes that we can fit on this street, because we think that the street will be better if it's more accessible, safer, and just there's more transportation options for people to get to all the lovely businesses that are along the corridor.
What kicked off all this Lyndale Avenue activism is in 2019, a man named Ted Ferrara was killed, I think, on the 2500 block, going to maybe the Bulldog, I think, that intersection. Like, he had gotten out of a car, was crossing the street, and was hit and killed. And that kicked off a ton of activism by people in the neighborhood who know that this was bound to happen and we hadn't fixed it in forever. And county was very skeptical and said, no, a four to three lane conversion won't work. There's too much traffic. A lot of naysayers. The businesses were skeptical. And we got the results. They finally did the pilot in 22. And in 23, we got the results of that pilot. And drivers are driving the speed limit now. Can you imagine that? And 85%, I think, more people willing to cross the street now, because it was obviously too scary and dangerous to do it before. And for context, Whittier and the Wedge, everyone who listens to this podcast knows this, but like, there are so many pedestrians, so many people on foot. There's such a population of people who want to cross the street and go to the businesses on the Whittier or the Wedge side when they live on the opposite side, but weren't doing it. There's something to be said about the proving those people wrong the first time, and maybe they ought to show a little deference to the people who were right the second time around. We can make this a really great street if we're willing to, like, make a change for the first time in 90 years.
No, it's true. And we've heard that from businesses. We've heard that they were skeptical, and we now have heard from them that they love the 4-to-3 conversion. They want it to be permanent. And to me, that just speaks to, like, you know, maybe we should keep changing things because they make it better. And this is, there are several cities. I can name a few for examples. Portland, Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, Chicago, San Francisco have all done similar types of projects where they make the street more accessible for bike and bus and pedestrians in a number of different ways. And the responses have all been that the businesses thrive. It's good for business. Bikers are, people on a bicycle are more likely to stop more often, and they spend just as much. And so it gets people into businesses. It gets people exploring the street. It'll be safer for actually anybody, whether you're, if you're in a car or on a bus or on a bike or in a wheelchair or on your feet. And so it just seems like a no-brainer to us, which is why we work so hard for this. So hopefully we succeed and then we get results, and it's just as shockingly amazing as the 4-3 conversion, which I'm confident it will be. So
and the other side lays down their arms, and every street in Minneapolis becomes good and nice because the other side gave up and stopped
right. And then, complaining. And in reality, you know, sometimes it can feel like an us versus them type of issue, but it's really not. Because, you know, we all, everyone who uses Lyndale and everyone who cares about this project, no matter how they feel about it, all of us just want the best, most usable Lyndale Avenue, safest Lyndale Avenue, that we can get. And so it's just a matter of bringing people together on the reasons why this design is that and is what people want, the better. So I try and push back on we versus us as we versus them, because it certainly shouldn't be that way, because
right.
We all want the same thing. We want a thriving business community. We want accessible, safe streets, and this is a perfect example of that.
And one of my concerns, and we've talked about it a little bit amongst volunteers, and some of us have even gone to city council to raise this issue, is some business owners may be converting their fears of the reconstruction itself and the existential, you know, crisis that is having less access during reconstruction, and conveying that to this, you know, the community engagement around what the design will be. And I hope that the city, the county, the state would start thinking broadly about these reconstructions, because, you know, all of our streets are now 50 to 90 years old, and we're redoing a lot of our big commercial corridors. And MnDOT actually last year came out with a study that showed that it's the small independent businesses that are most likely to close during reconstructions, and especially long reconstructions. And so can we have a grant program that, you know, is targeted towards independent BIPOC-owned businesses so that they can survive the reconstruction? Because that's why we want to go to this corridor, is because those awesome restaurants and stores and other gathering spaces are. So I think that's point that we're trying to make with the county. And as we've talked to some of the commissioners, we've raised that, and unfortunately we've gotten pushback because, oh well, if we do it on this street, then we have to do it on all streets. It's like, well, maybe that's just identifying that this is a problem. That right. Maybe we would have less pushback on the street design if businesses knew that they could survive the reconstruction.
I feel like that is a prime argument that businesses make. Like, we're not, they end up arguing against the idea of a reconstruction, which I think does not serve them well, because it, as I said, it's happening regardless. And so you had better spend your time arguing over the details of how it will look afterwards. And I apologize for giving a tip to the business opposition here, but you're better off arguing the details of what the street will look like, because the reconstruction is certainly happening. Anything else to say about the business opposition? Because that is really the debate here, and it always is here in the Wedge, is businesses who are afraid of losing parking saying, no, don't do it, and people who live in the neighborhood saying, yes, please do it. This needs to be a better street. Also, here's a business argument I hear often, is we can't lose our safe, easy, and convenient parking. Anyone who lives in the Wedge probably knows they don't want to park their car on Lyndale Avenue. Not great. You're going to get your rear end crushed in. And nobody wants to park on Lindale Avenue. Let's lay that out.
I say the same thing. I bike, I bus, I walk, and I drive on Lindale. Never do, even if there is an option to park on Lindale, I do not park on Lindale because it's scary. It's scary to get out of my car. I think my windshield or my side mirror is going to get ripped off or my car is going to get smashed into. I mean, the number of crashes on Lindale right now is unbelievable. We were canvassing a couple weeks ago. I was on the corner outside of the co-op and I saw a crash happen right in front of me. And I see, you know, broken glass and car parts all the time on the road. And it's just like, it's pretty wild and it's unsafe. And I know that, like, I think a big piece that we're battling with is that, you know, any change can be really, really scary. And so in general, if you're pushing for change, you're going to get opposition because a lot of people, would rather just stick to what's happening now and have it be like survivable than have something where you can change it and make it much better for everyone, even because the growing pain of it is a lot to ask for, especially for a small business. They we just got through COVID. We just got through all of these different, you know, the economy has been going up and down. There's a lot of different reasons why businesses are maybe a little stressed out right now. But, like Katie was saying, the reconstruction itself is happening. And our campaign and our movement often gets blamed for that happening when it has nothing to do with us. Actually, it's quite the opposite because let's say the street did get reconstructed and then there was a movement for bike lanes and bus lanes. That would be another reconstruction. So we're trying to feed two birds with one scone here, you know? We're trying
to get it all. Did you say two birds with one scone?
Yeah, feed two birds with one scone. I don't want to kill any birds.
Yeah, actually, a volunteer on our team.
Is that the woke? Is that the woke version of that phrase?
I learned that phrase because I worked for Audubon Society.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh no, you're one of the bird people.
Bird conservation, and they said that in a meeting, and they were like, the optics aren't good for us to say kill two birds with one stone. We can't be saying that. And I thought that was the funniest thing. So now I say it. Yeah.
Anyway, how does it feel for you, Julie, to have a foot in both universes, both the bird people and the bike people, the bike lobby and the bird NIMBYs? How does it feel to have your foot in both of those worlds?
I will say I would not say that I'm in the bird world, but I have been in the bird world and you know, we have more in common than you would think. But
can you put in a good word for the 2040 plan? Did you mention the Audubon? Is that who you were with?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they dropped out of that lawsuit, so I guess.
Yeah, they dropped out of the lawsuit.
So. Okay, the real environmentalist dropped out of that one. Does anyone have any final thoughts here? I don't know if I'm going to find anything else, but I think we're getting close to the end.
I just want to say that we are continually trying to have as many conversations as we can with as many different people because we are nimble and we are, we really want to listen to people and understand what's going on and also educate people about why we are so sure about this. Like there are so many reasons why we're pushing for this so hard. And it's not because we're all just biking around everywhere. It's so much more than that. And it's so much bigger. And this is, you know, this is the design that is good at a micro level. Yeah, we all live in the neighborhood, but also, and we want it to have it be safe and healthy, but it's also a huge step forward for climate and for accessibility and for social justice and for efficiency and community building and access to democracy and all these different things all plug in to this. And so I would just encourage anybody who's feeling skeptical on it to really take a moment and think about why we're so passionate about this and talk to us about it. Because I would love to talk anybody's ear off about how important this is because I am that confident in this design.
So Do you guys have a proposed design you would like to see, and can people see that anywhere?
We don't have it listed on our website currently, but I think we might be talking about it more sometime soon.
Okay, you're keeping it under wraps.
Well, and part of the reason is because we're still having conversations, and you know, it's so early in the process, and we want to make sure that when we get to that specifics, we get it clearly.
Yeah, and yeah, part of it is like sometimes when you throw out a picture and people get a first take and they're like, they may just like turn away. They're like, nope, this isn't going to work. And so we want to talk through a number of the things that Julie, you know, mentioned. Like, let's start with the values. Like, do we all value safety? Do we value accessibility? Do we value equitable access? Though, like, we want to talk about those things first. And once we talk to people about those, then it like, then some of the modes that we're talking about make a lot of sense.
On the other hand, visuals are very compelling. Like, people, like, it could be very persuasive to see, like, wow, this is what Lyndale Avenue could be. I love it. Like, you could, mm-hmm. you could bring a lot of people in that way too.
Yeah. And we, well, honestly, we're kind of hoping that the, designs would have been released by now. Yeah. And so then we could say, like, this is what the county's proposing. And it's easier to say, like, you know, we're not transportation planners, so we don't know exactly what the guidelines are for certain widths and things. And so just making sure that what is, like, the ideas that are being proposed can actually be built, I think, is an important thing too. But another thing I wanted to bring up is that Lyndale is a designated BRT route that's supposed to have BRT starting in the 2030s. And one of the other things that we're pushing for is for the infrastructure to be built out in this reconstruction, because you know, who wants to have the road torn up again 5 years later? That's a thing that, like, businesses don't want. That's a thing that taxpayers don't want, because then we're having to pay twice. It just makes a lot of sense to build it all at the same time.
Yeah,
I will say one other component of our petition. And this is a happy point to me, at least, of the businesses we've spoken to, everyone is in agreement on this piece. And it's not directly on the Lyndale Ave reconstruction, but it's so related that we decided to tack it on, and that's to complete the bikeway gap and fix the inaccessible sidewalk on, it's between Franklin Avenue and the Loring Greenway. We wanted to meet ADA standards so that it can work well for people of all abilities. And that is how, from my experience so far, has been unanimous. Everyone wants that. We love that. We love agreement. That feels great. So everyone wants that. And also safety is a big concern for everyone, which is another thing that is kind of blending in the middle of the game. So
one last thing about, like, what is good for business, bikes, cars, What will kill your business or save it in terms of transportation modes that your business is served by? I know that car infrastructure kills businesses because the Franklin and Lyndale intersection is so dead. You've got that new building with the vacant retail space that's been like that forever. The old Rudolph's place, what's going on there? That's been vacant maybe for most of the time that I've lived in the Wedge, and I've lived in the Wedge for quite a while now. having access to the interstate right there maybe isn't, or that's an on-ramp, right? But, like, that's a horrible car-centric intersection, and I hate crossing it, and because of all the car infrastructure. Maybe making Lyndale Avenue a pleasant place. This is super dense part. It's the densest part of the state of Minnesota, well served by transit and bike infrastructure. So many people here. Make this a place for the neighborhood. People will show up for your business.
And we think it's only going to grow.
Yeah. So I'm frustrated by the lack of data on this point. Like, I think Toronto may have studied this when they redid a street, and they were like, this is where the customers are coming from. It's this many people within walking distance. They're in the neighborhood patronizing these businesses. Like, in the age of electronic payments, we had all those COVID studies. Like, how much is your downtown coming back? Like, we could study this and know for sure like where people are coming from to patronize businesses. And I don't understand when we argue about it so much that we don't have that information available. Say, no, Mr. Small Businessman, your customers are actually in the neighborhood. They're not driving from 20 miles away to come to your hardware store or whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah, we agree. I think data and research would be very valuable every time that we're building a street.
So, Julie, what website can people go to learn more about Livable Lyndale, Move Minnesota's efforts on Lyndale Avenue?
LivableLyndale.org or LivableLyndale.com. They'll both take you to the site.
Okay. I think we're really done now, unless anyone has anything else to say. I'll ask you for recommendations. It could be anything in your life that you're having fun with lately. A book, a movie, a game, a place you like to walk or ride your bike. Maybe you like to drive and park somewhere. Maybe that's a nice overlook that you like to drive your car to. Katie, do you have anything to recommend to the audience?
Actually, I do. So I've been meeting up with there's a meetup group on once a month at Bob's Java Hut. And actually, one of my favorite things when I go there is actually going across the median, because you get to push the button and everything stops for you. Like the whole world stops and you are the king or the queen of the intersection, and you just get to take your, you control it. And I mean, it's just, there are very few places in the city where you can say like, no, as a pedestrian, like I have the safe like route and walkway across. And I like it every time.
So you're recommending crossing Lyndale Avenue. I concur with that experience. It was amazing when those flashers went in. People make fun of how gaudy the flashers are, but in that spot, it works. You push the button and you make it clear you're about to throw your body on somebody's hood, and they definitely stop. I love crossing Lyndale Avenue now. Julie?
It's awesome. My recommendation, I was going to say adult Lego sets, but I have something better. I'm telling you, I'm all over it. I've got the bus right here.
Ooh. Is that a Lego bus? Right?
Yeah. It's part of the
Oh my gosh.
So that makes me pretty happy. But my real recommendation, I think, is actually Gigi's Cafe. I adore Gigi's Cafe. If you haven't been there, it's on 36th. I think it's 824. Yes, I have the address memorized. I love it for any time of day. Mm-hmm. It's an adorable little neighborhood shop, and I would go there every day if I could. So,
can I ruin it for you? Do we know anything about the politics of Gigi's Cafe? Would they protest? Would they protest a bike lane? Would they say, "No, you're not taking our parking"?
They have a bike lane.
Yeah, they already have a bike lane
on 36th.
Did they complain? I get very disappointed in businesses when I hear about their politics. Sometimes when it comes to transportation.
Yeah. I don't know anything about their politics, but
let's not find out.
Man, yeah, maybe I should just
ignorance is bliss.
In this one specific moment, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you both for joining me, Julie Johnson from Move Minnesota, Katie Jones from the Wedge Neighborhood, and your future state rep in District 61A. I don't know. Do you think you got out of it clean, Katie? Did you say anything controversial?
You're still recording.
Yeah, I know. I wanted this. This is my final question now. Okay. Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye, Julie and Katie. This is the Wedge Life Podcast. I'm your host, John Edwards. Thank you for listening.
This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge Neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.